20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the 4th of July Pack-A-Day Podcast edition. It's a good day to be a Packers fan. I am Steve Perhatch, joined by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher. What's going on, guys? Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July.
Does anybody have, like, fireworks going on in the back? Because technically it is July 3rd, but, you know, we're all excited anyway.
I've absolutely heard explosions outside.
Okay. Do we have crying babies? Like, I know my dog is freaking out.
Yeah.
My baby is crying. I think it's unrelated. Thankfully, my dog's like 15 years old at this point, and deaf. She used to freak out, and now she can't hear it, and she just sleeps in blissful ignorance. And it's, you know, bad for her because she's deaf, but also kind of amazing because she's not ripping up the house. So
it does help. It does help.
It's a mixed
bag. I'm coming back from a 4th of July celebration. So, you know, festival. It's got all the carnies. Good times. You know, has a couple nice tacos and everything like that for 4th of July.
Sure.
Of course. I do want to – this is something we did not talk about because I want to see – I want to get your organic reaction. Do you guys have any good stories about carnies? Because I've got one from my past that always makes everybody laugh, so I always want to share it whenever possible and talk about carnies. Do you know
– I don't have any carny stories.
Really? Yeah, you're in Kentucky. Like, how do you not have any carny stories?
I mean, you know, some of my best friends are carnies, Steve. I don't know.
I'm so disappointed, Dustin. You're in Kentucky.
Like, when I think of carnies, like the only thing I can ground. All I can think of for carnies, you breeding ground. That's offensive. I feel like that's offensive. All I can think of is how Rob Zombie was like raised by carnies, and he just talks about it in every interview. So that's all. When I think of carnies, that's all I can think of. I have zero carny stories, Steve.
Sarah, nothing.
No, besides like the general like typical carny story, I don't think I have one that like stands out really a lot compared to others.
All right. Well, this was back in my college days, but I worked for a pressure washing company, and so we would always go to the Wisconsin State Fair, and we would, you know, get paid to pressure wash all the rides at night and things like that. And so we were pressure washing one of the haunted houses or whatever. So it's like 1 a.m. I've been pressure washing things for a couple hours, like kind of going bat-ass crazy after, you know, I'm up at 1, 2, 3 a.m. doing this stuff, and we're pressure washing, and all of a sudden this guy comes running out of this haunted house in like his underwear and like a cutoff sleeves and like screaming at us, and I could barely hear him. He's got a couple of teeth. He's like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, we're washing this. What are you doing? He's like, I'm sleeping in there.
That was my uncle, Steve.
I mean, you're from Kentucky, so I assume you had to know him.
I need to know if people actually believe that Kentucky is a breeding ground for carnies. I've never heard that before, and I can't tell if you're joking.
That feels like a poll question.
Yeah, that does feel like a poll question.
I think that's a good one.
Legitimately curious about this.
Well, we are. We're right there. We got literally nothing going on right now. I mean, there is no
zero.
There is no Packers news. Like, we are actually going to be talking about a little Bears comments because we have no Packers news right now.
I read the fourth article I've seen so far this year about how LaFleur and Rodgers are trying to get their trying to work through their audible thing. There's nothing new. No new information in that article, but it's like the fourth one I've read.
I did read the first time that they hung out was watching March Madness.
Yes.
So that's breaking news story that we really need to dissect.
Thank God I read that today.
Riveting journalism.
I know that it's so frustrating. Like, we all just crave Packers information, and it just sucks that we even though it's like we have nothing that these people are giving us, we still have to read it because we both read it.
Because it's something. It's something.
Thought maybe there was something new in that. There was not.
I do have to thank Eddie Jackson of the Bears because he gave us at least a little bit of content to make fun of. Because Eddie Jackson came out and said, we want to top everything that the 85 Bears did. I mean,
everything. Keyword, everything.
It's just, I mean, I lived in Chicago for 6 years, and those dudes are gods. They are all gods in that city. Like, they can do nothing wrong. I don't think I've ever seen them pay for a drink. I've seen them sign inappropriate parts of women's bodies. It's, I mean, it's insane what those guys are held up to, and the fact that he thinks that they could. But, I mean, their defense was amazing.
Yeah, an all-timer. Yeah.
Oh,
all-timer. Yeah.
And the fact that they think that they had an unbelievably healthy season.
Mm-hmm.
They lost a few guys and did not upgrade.
Defensive coordinator lost. That's a big one. I mean, granted, they got another one. They got another very good defensive coordinator, but they lost the guy that kind of made it all go for them. That's huge.
Exactly. Yeah, they lost him. So and they just think it's just going to ha-ha Clinton Dix is going to fix it all and they're gonna be even better.
So excited about that.
Keep forgetting that is an actual real thing that happened and not just something I had a nightmare about.
And he's better than Adrian Amos. You guys didn't know? He's better than Adrian Amos.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, the Packers really lost in that. I just can't believe it.
So I saw that. I just started laughing. I'm sure it's just ridiculous.
It's just really funny because someone could have like showed me that and just been like, who said this? And you just know it's Bears content. When you see something that like dumb, you're just like, it has to be them. There's no other team that this could apply to except like maybe the Jets, Giants, somewhere in that. I feel like the Bears are sometimes the New York Knicks of football. Ooh. Like you just really want them to...
Well, the only problem with that analogy is that the Bears went 12-4.
That's
Knicks,
true.
When's the last time the Knicks had a winning season?
No, the Knicks won 12 games last year, Steve.
But I'm talking about with, like, the expectations. Like, there's always really high expectations for kind of no reason, and then it's just a letdown.
I can see, you know, yeah, exactly, for the Knicks. Like, everybody thinks that, oh, it's the Knicks that all the free agents are going to want to go. Yeah, nobody cares anymore. Like, they don't care that they used to be a good franchise.
No.
Nobody wants to go there anymore.
No.
So, yeah, I can see that aspect of it. But, and then to coincide with that, we have now found out that in Vegas, the number one most bet NFL MVP bet right now is Mitchell Trubisky. Holy crap. Like, I mean,
it's because he can chug a beer really well. That's what it is. There's no other explanation.
He looks like
he chugged it out of a can too, so you don't even know.
Yeah, that's the I was gonna say, I couldn't remember which one he was, but he was the one. Yeah, it was in a can.
He was the can.
Yeah.
Stafford was legit.
I'll go to bat for Stafford's because Stafford's was great. Brady's was actually, well, Brady chugged water, didn't he? Screw that guy.
I don't know. He's like 47. Who cares?
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point.
But so to clarify, it's not because Mitchell Trubisky is the odds-on favorite to win the NFL MVP, but his odds, I believe, are 66-1. So people are thinking that's a favorable bet. So all the stupid Bears fans out there, yeah, if you're listening, you are stupid for being a Bears fan. You're all wasting your money. I mean, I think that kind of wraps up all the Bears talk. I think, right?
There is one other Packers thing. I totally forgot about this. It was on Wilde and Tausch this morning. I don't know if you saw this or not. They had David Bakhtiari on. And they question. It's hard to tell. You never know if Bakhtiari is serious or not. They asked him if LaFleur's offense will allow for passes to offensive linemen. And Bakhtiari said it will.
Oh, I did see something. Which, like, he said he wants to catch a touchdown pass.
I think he said he would love to catch one, and he said he'd be more excited if Bulaga caught one.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, just to throw that out there,
Twitter would freak out if Bulaga
I just need
one.
Him to score a touchdown and then pretend like he's like smashing a beer on his forehead, well, and chugging it as like his celebration.
Ooh,
I just need that to happen
now. A chug of the football and smash on the head.
That's one of the other things he talked about in that as well, was he talked about how like there's now a pressure where anytime he is, like someone wants him to chug a beer and he feels like he has to do it. So I don't know if he just like carries beers around with him everywhere or what, but he's now talking about the pressure of beer chugging.
He's a famous person. They just provide the beer for him.
Yeah, David Bakhtiari, he might have a holster of beers. I don't know.
Could definitely see him with a Batman style like belt.
Yes,
spotted cows, like just at his disposal.
Yeah,
he has like the hat that has the beers in it.
But there's like
the
eight
straw.
Of them. Just all of, yes, yes.
Two six packs on each side. Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Anyway, that's our Packers news again.
Okay, there you go. I think everybody's covered. So we are going to jump in. We've been tasked with talking about the top 10 non-edge linebackers. I think that's the right terminology, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
Covered edge, yesterday or a couple days ago? Yeah. Tremendous job doing that. They did a tremendous job.
So, yeah, non-edge linebackers that the Packers will face this season. We've got pretty consensus. I think we've argued a little bit, but, you know,
I said I'd fight you over one. I think that's about as contentious as we got.
The problem with inside linebackers is it's just not sexy. Like, it's not exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of boring.
If you start looking at the stats, most of these guys are all kind of pretty similar of 100-ish tackles, 2 sacks, 1 interception. Like, they're all kind of lumped in together. So you kind of had to go through some of it. But we're going to give you the top 10 that we kind of put together. We'll have some honorable mentions at the end of guys we thought were pretty close. But yeah, we're just going to start with number 10. So at number 10, we have Darren Lee of the Kansas City Chiefs. Traded from the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After, like, pretty much right away after, who's the coach out there?
Oh, the guy with the big eyes, right?
Adam Gase. After
Sarah.
Great clue. I love that. That's awesome. You said big eyes, Adam Gase, right away. As soon as Adam Gase got the GM responsibilities, hey, Darren Lee, we're going to trade you for nothing. So ship out a former second-round pick. I think they got a 6th back for him, but I mean, I love his
big thing.
As soon as I heard he got traded, actually, I was really hoping he went to the Packers.
Yes.
Loved the speed. I thought he would have been really complimentary to Blake Martinez as more of the coverage middle linebacker as well, kind of mixing and matching those two. But the dude is just a blur all over the field, and he's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's 24 years old. I mean, just absolute freak athlete. He's kind of one of those guys you keep waiting for him to put everything together because he came out and that was the thing, like rangy, like elite athlete, will likely be good in coverage, but he's not a big guy, so kind of struggle in the run game a little bit. And that's kind of what he's been. Like, he's tremendous, tremendous in coverage. Like, his instincts, his speed, he can kind of recover very, very well. But I saw, like, I was kind of watching quite a bit of him, of what he was doing last year. Like, he improved quite a bit in the run game, I think. Like, I don't think he's, just due to his size, I don't think he's ever going to be, like, an amazing run defender. But he's no slouch there. Like, for what he can do in the passing game, I'm with you, Steve. As soon as I heard he was on the block, it's like, oh, Packers, go get him. Go get him.
Especially when I heard he went for a 6th, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't know what – I mean, I'm not – you know, Blake Martinez is fine. I like Blake Martinez. I'm not a huge fan of him. I'm hoping Oren Burks pans into something, but you're not 100% sure. But you know what you have in Lee. So, yeah, I'm a big, big fan of Lee. I think I had him higher on my list, and then we kind of bumped him down to 10 here. But he absolutely belongs in that top 10. He's just tremendous.
Yeah, and I think he's only going to improve being on an overall better team in the Chiefs. And, I mean, he's really – you guys pretty much covered it already, but he's also very consistent. Everything that I watched of him and read about him, he starts every game for the last few seasons. He's really been able to be a consistent threat there and someone that they can consistently rely on. So I think that's goes – to show a lot, especially at the linebacker position. You know, you see a lot of times guys will do really well for like a brief period of time and then they kind of disappear and you're like, where did they go? What have they done? And so something that kind of stood out to me, besides the things that you guys have already covered, is his consistency and his ability to do that. And he's only 24 years old. So it's only up from here for him, I think, as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and you got to credit the Kansas City Chiefs because they saw their middle linebacker core as a weakness, went out and traded for him. They went out and traded for Reggie Ragland. Like, they make a good pairing together. Like, actually, like, it's reminiscent of the Packers. It's kind of, you know, Ragland does that run stuffing, that, you know, making those tackles in, like, you know, if they've got 8 people, like, all committed to the run, he's there making those kind of tackles. So he was close to an honorable mention from me. Moving on, we got number 9, the linebacker from Denver Broncos, Todd Davis. Guys, I'm not going to lie. I don't know much about Todd Davis. I had to do some research. I did some stats. And
he's slow. Is that you, Steve?
Oh, that's me. That's totally my daughter knocking. So why don't you guys talk about Todd Davis while I go deal with this?
Todd Davis is slow, man. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's been in the league 5 years. I always hate using 40 time when a guy's been in the league that long. But they only tend to get slower as they go on. He ran like a 4.87 40, which is not good. And he's got short arms. So, like, he's good against the run, but then even then he has a hard time kind of shedding blocks just because he has short arms and he's not great in coverage. The one thing that I read, I didn't watch a ton. I watched some stuff and I was reading quite a bit. He seems to be better in zone blocking, against zone blocking schemes, just the way the blocking tends to work in those, than anything else. So, which means he could have a decent day against the run, against the Packers. And he is a good run guy, but I just don't think he's very good overall. I think he's fine. He just has a lot of kind of downsides to his game, I think. Is that kind of what you saw, Sarah, as well?
Yeah, I mean, he, on paper, he's okay. He had 80 tackles, 34 assists last season. But I did kind of see the same things as you, especially with the speed. That's obviously something if you want to be an elite linebacker at the level that he's playing at, you kind of need to be quick off your feet. So that's something that's definitely an issue when I see him, but I know that he still has a chance to get them in trouble as well.
Yeah. Steve, do you have any Todd Davis thoughts now that you're back?
He looks really good in orange and blue. But I mean, honestly, it's just tough. These guys, you can all lump these together. And we were kind of struggling, especially, number eight, we've got Mason Foster. And so that's kind of... This is for all you guys. Don't have multiple children. Don't have multiple children. This is all what happens. You guys talk about Mason Foster. I'm going to go killing people. So I'll be right back.
All right. Yeah, all right. So at eight, Mason Foster, 30 years old, 8 years in the league. Seems fine. I don't know. I'm not a huge Mason Foster guy. Like, he seems like relatively inconsistent against both the pass and the run. And he's also 30 years old. So he basically is what he is. He's kind of on the downside. He's not... I mean, it's like a lot of these inside linebackers that you see. Like, he seems solid if inconsistent and not really spectacular. And also 30 years old.
Yeah, I did not have him on my top 10, like, my own list before we kind of came up with a collective one. He was kind of right outside for me. And age being one of the reasons for that. I think there's certain positions that you can play at older age and still be at a high level, but linebacker is pretty difficult to do that. So that was kind of a red flag, I would say, for me. And yeah, I wasn't particularly like wowed by anything.
Yeah, that's and actually Steve, since Steve is back, maybe now he is, I don't know.
You're officially back. I saw my wife handling both children, so we should be good.
All right. Well, neither me or Sarah are necessarily high on old what's his face here on Mason Foster. So why don't you tell us? Why don't you tell us why you like Mason Foster so much, Steve?
I'm sorry. Wait, you guys both weren't high on Mason Foster.
Like, I don't think he made either of our preliminary lists. No,
he did not.
Okay. So can you tell me why? Like, is there anything that you had in general? Like, he's a pretty legit tackling machine.
I don't care about tackles.
You don't care about securing like tackles as a middle linebacker.
I don't care about the tackle statistic. In general, I do. Do you know why I don't care about the tackle statistic, Steve? It's because AJ Hawk led the team in tackles for years, and AJ Hawk was not very good. If you look at where those tackles were made, it doesn't matter that he made them. It's a matter of where they were and kind of the path he took to get them. I don't trust the tackle. I don't care about the tackle statistics. Like, not even a little bit. It does not move the needle for me. I do not care.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm living more of the fantasy football world a little bit. I mean, I do a lot of the individual defensive player stuff. But I mean, the guy went from, in 2017, he went from 31 tackles, and then the next year he bumped up to 131. So, I mean, he's has a nose for being around the play. He's solid at wrapping people up. And, I mean, this list isn't great because there's not a lot of people there. So, I'm wild about him, but I think he deserves to be on a list.
I don't. I don't, but that's fine that you feel that way. Because I don't feel strongly about most of
you
these
guys.
You
were the one who made the GD list, Dusty.
Like, yeah, I was given I was given concessions with you. On it. I would have had Thomas Davis here, and he's an honorable mention for me. Mason Foster.
He's like 7,000 years old.
Yeah, Mason Foster is also like...
Mason Foster?
Mason Foster is 30 years old. Mason Foster is 30 years old.
How old is Thomas Davis?
I don't know, 80? It doesn't matter, though, because Thomas Davis is still good.
Let's see how old he is. I'm looking it up.
Mm-hmm. I want to say he's been in the league, I think, 13 or 14 years. I'm going to say Thomas Davis is 36.
He's 36.
Doing a dance for you guys. Doing a dance.
That's really good. I'm glad you guessed his age. Yeah. But if you have give me the choice, you tell me I have a 36-year-old Thomas Davis or I get a 30-year-old Mason Foster, I don't think that's very difficult decision to make.
If you're looking at ages, that's true, but there are players attached to those ages, and Thomas Davis is way better than Mason Foster is. Way better.
Not at 36.
Way better. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Thomas Davis is better at 36 than Mason Foster is at 30.
You're the one in control of this list, and you didn't even put him on here.
I'm making concessions, man. I had to bump some people around.
Okay.
You were way higher on him than I didn't have him anywhere close to my list. And so I kind of moved him up because you had him so high. And so I was moving him around.
Okay. Well, that gets us to number 7, Danny Trevathan, which I did not have on my list.
Me either.
Because he sucks and he hit Devontae Adams square in the head right when he didn't need to. So I don't want a dirty player on this list because he's a schmuck. But Dusty, go ahead. Explain why he should be on the list.
Well, Sarah, why didn't you have him on? Is it for that same reason?
Yeah, I was kind of petty about it.
Oh, you guys are both, like, he's so good. He's still so good. You know, he's another guy. He's pushing 30. He's 29. He's so good. Like, he's great against coverage. Like, when he went to free agency and the Bears got him, I wanted the Packers to get him because he's, like, just tremendous against the pass, great against the run, great instincts, good speed, like, can recover, can fight through tackles, very, very smart. He does everything very, very well. Like, just does everything well. In Chicago, he's very good for that scheme, but he's a guy that can do great things anywhere he goes just because of his skill set, his instincts. He's one of those guys, once he kind of loses a step, I think he's still going to be good just because his instincts are so, so good, and he just sees everything so well. And he had, listen, that play against Devontae was awful. Like one of the worst hits I've seen in a while. That was, like, the play's over and he hits him in the face. That was terrible. He's a UK guy. I've been watching him since college. He does not have a history of dirty hits. I'm not going to kill a guy for one dirty hit over, I don't know, what, 10, 11 years? That's not a great hit. I don't think it makes him a dirty player. And I realize people will probably not like me for that. That's fine. People don't like me anyway.
Okay,
yeah, number one. He's great. He's just very good at everything. He's very good at everything.
People love you, and you know that. So don't do this whole, like, oh, nobody likes me.
I said Devontae Adams wasn't top five again today, and people got mad about it.
Well, that's because that's stupid.
It's not. But I don't want to get into it here.
No, the problem is you say Devontae Adams isn't a top five receiver, and then you go and defend the dude that smacked him in the mouth.
Well, because it's about play. If you're looking at this, like if you're looking at like a list and you're trying to make this stuff right, looking at skill, you're looking at what they bring a team, right? Like the fact that he hit Devontae, that sucks. That's awful, man. He should not have done that. That's bad. That's bad, Danny Trevathan. He's still a very, very, very good player. We don't have Burfict on this list. I nixed Burfict because Burfict is garbage. Like got to a point where like what he the terrible things he does not outweigh his play because he simply isn't good anymore. Danny Trevathan had one bad play a few years back, but he's still like very, very good. He's still a very good player. I like Danny Trevathan. His face, I don't know if his face is kind of fat. He's kind of got like a baby face. for like he's a very good player and he, you know, he looks the part, but his face is too fat for his body. If you're gonna, if there's a knock, that's the knock
that's I'm gonna the get.
That's the critique I have on Pedro.
Yeah, fat face.
It's kind of chubby. It's kind of like a baby.
Okay, so a little Levitard aspect to him. Okay, I like it. Number six. So I know I was higher on this guy than you guys were, but Fred Warner, the middle linebacker for the 49ers. And, I mean, I know after his rookie year, I don't know. I just, for me, like I looked at the list and I saw kind of what we did the last time when we went at, when we went for wide receivers as ascending players. And I wanted to get those guys in the list. I don't know, that's kind of where why I had him there. And as a rookie, he played in 16 games. He had a buttload of tackles. He had some sacks. He had an interception. Like, and if you watch a little bit of film, like he's a little bit quicker. He only weighs 236, but he's 6'3". I don't know. I from the stuff that I watched, I liked the flashes of him, and I thought he had a lot of room to grow, and I liked what I saw. So that's kind of why I was higher on him. I know you guys weren't as high on him, but I'd love to hear what you were thinking.
I don't hate the spot. I had him slightly on the outside looking in simply because, I mean, you're right, Steve. I mean, he showed those flashes. He looked really, really good when he showed those flashes. But he's got 1 year in the league and he just seems a little raw. Like having him at six, I think feels maybe like a year too early. I want to see what he does this year.
Yeah.
Like, he showed promise. He struggled against the run. He showed promise in coverage, I think. And like you said, he's got that speed. He's got that kind of quick twitch. Mm-hmm. So I think he shows a lot of promise, and I think this year he will be fine. And it's one of the guys I wouldn't be shocked to see him take off in year three. It feels a year too early based on like the inconsistencies from last year. But I mean, I don't know. I don't hate having him here at six because he could have a good year this year. He did show those flashes. Exactly. Just wasn't nearly as consistent enough for me to kind of have him this high. But I like that you're excited about him.
Yeah, and I kind of had him on the outside looking in as well. And simply, again, for the reason that I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen with him this year. I think there was promise for sure, but it was just, there wasn't enough like proof for me to say, okay, I want to cement him at this point on the list above these other players, just simply because I didn't know yet.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, I think one of the reasons I was watching some of his film and then I got kind of excited. Like, it's the 49ers and I know it's not the Packers, but the fact that they signed Quan Alexander to be the weak side linebacker and keep him in the middle, like that legit, I was kind of like, oh, man, like if Quan Alexander stays healthy, this kid could just eat in the middle and be really, really good. So that's kind of where my jump from where you guys were was, I just kind of was looking at that and it all in my head, you know, it's like Madden style in my head. I'm like, oh, that could be awesome.
I'm sure there are times when it will be.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, you're right. I mean, it's year two, so there will definitely be struggles as well. So it'll be interesting to see. Number five, we went with Jalen Smith of the Cowboys. Looking good. He's pairing up with Leighton Vander Esch. He's pairing up with Sean Lee, and they make an unbelievably talented linebacking core. I mean, we've kind of been waiting for Jalen Smith to come back from that injury he mm-hmm. suffered in the championship game with Notre Dame. And I feel like this last half of this season, he kind of got that speed back that he had. Like, that was what he was known for. You know, he was all over the field. And he finally felt like, you know, they invested, was it a second round pick in him?
He ended up going second round, yeah.
Second round pick in him. And you knew that first year was just going to be a rehab year. And, mm-hmm. you know, he came back and was a little bit slower, wasn't making the plays right away. But, man, that tandem that they have of Vander Esch and Smith, like, they fly. And he just makes impact plays all over the field. And I was kind of hoping that he fell, again, you know, Packer-related, hoping he fell to the third round where the Packers had an extra third-round pick that year and hoping that he could get some business there. But he's just a talented, talented dude.
Yeah, I definitely think the Cowboys have a super strong linebackers group. I know we have someone else on our list that we are going to talk about here again shortly. And that's just, it's a huge threat for them. And I think he absolutely would have gone higher if there wasn't the injury at the end of his college career. And he's just so athletic. He's great size. And I just have so much respect as well for him as a player that he went through an injury like that and came back. And, you know, and like you said, he was a little slow at first and maybe not himself, but he's really been able to come back at an elite level and prove himself, and to go through an injury that's that tough and that devastating and still be able to come back and make as big as an impact as he is impressive in itself. So that was something that stood out. He's obviously willing to work and willing to take the hard road if he needs to. And that always goes a long way as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of echo what you guys said. I mean, that injury, that his last college game, I mean, he was a guy that was kind of talked about as, you know, potential top 10 pick. I mean, he had that kind of talent, and then he tore up his knee. It was ACL and MCL, if I'm not mistaken, in that game.
It was ACL and LCL.
Yeah, I mean, that's not great. And so the fact that he went to the second round, I mean, the Cowboys were obviously willing to wait. I think he played six games that first year. And you're right, Steve. I mean, it seems like, what they say, like, usually when you tear your ACL, I know a lot of kind of people who have torn have said the same thing. It's, you know, roughly a year of rehab. And I think that's been shortened now to where physically you can get back. But it's almost a year mentally, kind of after you get back on the field, to kind of get that to where you trust it again, to where you're not seeing, you know, ghosts at your feet every time you take a step, that it's going to happen again. And so you're right, Steve. I mean, I think he started off well. I kind of liked what he did early in the season. And as it took off, you could kind of see him regain that footing. He was that guy who was kind of that top 10 talent that people were kind of talking about. So watching him fly around the field, I mean, you know, great in coverage, great against the run, like great range, great instincts. That I mean, you said at the top, Steve, that tandem of him and Van Der Esch, and even like, I mean, I don't think Sean Lee didn't look great last season. I think those injuries are finally starting to take their toll a little bit. But if Lee is your number three, that's
tremendous. That he has to be able to teach those two as well is just huge.
Yeah. So I love what Jalen Smith is doing. He's able to come back and kind of do this. I'm not excited to see him, but I love watching him play. Like, and after that knee injury, where it's kind of that last game of the college career, like, crap, man. Like, you don't know exactly. I mean, the medicine we're being and rehab being where it is, like, a lot of people do come back from that fully, but you're never 100% sure. And then you make in that transition from college to the pros. So kind of seeing what he did last year just made me kind of happy to watch him play at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, too, is he has gotten to NFL speed. Like, that's the biggest thing, is that he is now, like, the legit middle linebacker for an NFL team. Like, before he was – you could tell he was, like you said, cautious almost of, if I make this step too hard, I'm going to blow out my knee again.
Or, yeah, it was like that first step, like, he was hesitant on that first step that kind of killed the rest of it.
And now, exactly. He's all of a sudden, he's back to where he needs to be. He's explosive. He is trusting his body, and he's a force, man. So that'll get us to number four. And this was another one we fought on, but I was high on this guy. Been high on him since the draft. Roquan Smith of the Bears. Like, I freaking hate that he's on the Bears. This was my draft crush of 2 years ago. Like, I wanted the Packers to trade up to get him. It's been a theme. I've kind of wanted the Packers to go get middle linebackers for a long time, but they don't really care about what I think. But I see this dude as just a baller of a player. Like, he is going to continually grow. I know Dusty and Sarah have had some spots that he needs to improve, and that's definitely true. But, I mean, the pure talent that oozes out of this guy's body is just evident to everybody.
Phrasing.
It sounded good to me. I don't know what you're talking about, Desi.
Just kept going.
Hey, whatever. I'm sorry. I'm trying to sex this up and make it better than it actually is. It's middle linebacker, Dusty. What do you want me to do?
It's actually a really good point, Steve. That is a really
what do you want
point.
Me to do?
Most sensible thing you've said all day. I mean, I had him on my list. I just had him lower. And I think, and maybe part of that was I'd watched some of him, and a lot of what I watched was kind of early in the season. As the season went on, I got busier and I didn't get a chance to watch as much. he did get better as the season went on. So having him here at...
For some reason, the Bears decided not to sign him right away. So he wasn't there for training camp. He wasn't there.
That's right. He wanted that language where, like, he wouldn't be out money if he, like, was, what, missed a game for a helmet-to-helmet or something? Was that what held that out?
It was something stupid, but for some reason, the Bears were like, nope, we're not going to sign that contract.
Yeah, he had that. Yeah, he was, I think, maybe one of the last draft
Oh, he was
signed.
The last.
Was he the last
he was
one?
The last.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so he had that kind of slow start, and I think that's what I had in my mind, but kind of going back and watching him a little bit more, like, he did. He closed out the season strong. So I'm curious to see what he does without Fangio. But I think for Bears fans, that's very promising. And for Packers fans, it's not so promising that he kind of finished stronger. So I did have him lower, but after kind of going back, I don't know. I think I still would have had Jalen Smith over him just because I think there are some more uncertainties. But yeah, I don't know. Roquan Smith in Chicago, not excited to face him. And also that tandem of him and Trevathan. I really don't like that. Cause both those guys are guys that can kind of do a little bit of everything. So he's a guy that, I mean, I talked about Warner maybe being a year too early on him. Roquan Smith could blow up this year. So
yeah.
Four sounds right.
I had him at four on my list as well. And, you know, I was thinking specifically what we were tasked with looking up was the toughest opponents that the Packers are going to face at this position. And so when I was researching and looking up more highlights of him, when I looked up a few highlight videos of him, and it was like best plays of 2018, just kind of stuff like that, just to get a better look. And they were overwhelmingly from games against the Packers. And that was really concerning to me that so many of his highlights from his season were against the Packers. Obviously, there's going to be an ability to frustrate our offense there, and that was just really concerning to me. He finished really strong. He seemed to perform well against Green Bay week one in Chicago. So that's like, that's just a little worrisome for me, and I think he really could pop off this year. He started in 14 games, and he had 121 tackles. And, well, let me get a stat line here. He had 121 tackles, 5 sacks, 5 passes, defended, and an interception. Yeah, so just a little troublesome for me. He's definitely on the come up, I think, and not looking forward to having to see him twice a year. That's for sure.
If I'm not mistaken, his first NFL snap was a sack on Rodgers as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was in there as well for like the interception to Khalil Mack, and like it was just.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Not great.
Not great. It's not great, Bob.
Not great, Roquan.
Number three, we have Zach Brown, who has moved around. He is now with the Eagles. Middle linebacker, just, I mean, I feel like the best way to describe this dude, he's just solid all the way around. Just nonstop, like he can tackle, he can cover, he's just somebody that you can trust in the middle of your defense. And I'm kind of happy they're only facing him once. He's not in the division because he's just a smart, smart dude.
When it came out last year too, and I don't know exactly when it happened, he played the majority of the season with a torn oblique. And he's still like, it was maybe not his best season, but it was still like a very, very good season. Just a very, very good season for him. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, Steve, it's what you want. I mean, said it multiple times. Inside linebacker position is not sexy. You want a guy who can kind of do a little bit of everything and be solid doing it. You want to, like, I mean, with every position, you want to iron out your inconsistencies. But with inside linebacker, you just need to be solid. You just need to be assignment sure. And you just need to know what you're doing and not let things like blow up behind you. And that's what he does year in, year out.
Exactly.
I don't know how much we can say about him. He's solid. He's a very good linebacker and he's just solid. He doesn't do anything poorly, really, I don't think.
Yeah, I think the Redskins were a little dumb to let him go the way that they did. There was a lot of questionable.
They have Mason Foster.
Who?
I just think that he's, like Dusty was saying, he's just so consistent in there. He's so stable. That's always a person that you can rely on. He's quick to get off the line, and he also has a really unique ability to. He can get to receivers quickly, but he can also get to the running backs if he needs to. And that's, again, he's just not letting guys get past him, and that's just really – he's just a good football player.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I mean, as much as I joke, like, I think you're right there. They I mean, if the Redskins would have thrown him and him and Mason Foster together, I mean, that's a duo. I don't know. For me, that's something that would have been good to.
You're having such a hard time selling this, Steve. I don't even think you like Mason Foster that much.
I don't like any. Like, I'm sorry. Outside of Luke Kuechly, I don't like any of them. They all suck. No, that's not true.
Take it back.
I do. No, there's good ones. It's just middle linebackers are very difficult to discuss because they don't do anything fun to talk about. They don't have the edge pressure percentages. They don't have,
you don't get a whole lot of interceptions out of there.
No, there's not a lot of sacks out of there. There's not the sexy things to talk about. It's just,
there's not a stat for covering a running back on a wheel route or a tight end at the seam or something. There's no stats for that.
No, they just have the boring things that nobody likes to talk about. It's true.
Yeah, it's 100% true.
So let's get to number two.
Excitement.
Yes. We're almost there.
Leighton Vander Esch, a rookie for the Dallas Cowboys. But, man, this dude is...
He's good.
He is very good. And you pair him with Jalen Smith, you pair him with Sean Lee. And, like, I know Dusty doesn't like tackle numbers, but I think I looked at it and he said, what do you have? Like 140 tackles?
145, I think.
Like between solo and combined.
Oh, yeah, combined.
Like 140 tackles. Smith had 121. Like,
insane.
For a rookie to come in and just make that kind of impact, that just says a lot about him. And I don't like the fact that the Packers have to face this trio of linebackers.
Yeah. Plus DeMarcus Lawrence. It's not great. Yeah, I mean, I think he went in the first round, didn't he? Vander Esch?
Yes. Yeah.
He got clowned on, like, the Cowboys got clowned on a lot for taking him. And I don't love taking an inside linebacker in the first round, but he very quickly showed exactly why they did. Like, the dude is just everywhere. Like, in his rookie year, like, just above average everywhere, just flies to the ball, hits hard, just seems like he knows where things are going and just flows there so quickly. He's like just rookie year. Like, he just, as soon as he got in, just jumped off the page at you. It's hard to say a whole lot about him because it's just gushing, but holy crap. Like, he was good as a rookie. I'm excited to see what he does the other 15 games of the year. Yeah. He's going to be incredible.
Absolutely. And I mean, you touched on it a little bit, Dusty, but he's 6'4", 256 pounds, but he's so strong, but he's still so quick. Yeah. And that was something that kind of was unexpected the first time I watched him. I was just so taken back. I was like, that guy's big, but he's also so fast. And to be able to do that and read the play and have the ability to make things happen is rare for a player at any level. But the fact that he was a rookie and he was able to do that so early and just catch on to things so quickly was really impressive. And like, I'm honestly excited to watch him, like you said, in all the other games, but scared for when they play the Packers, that's for sure.
Well, from a linebacker position too, like, I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't specifically know a whole lot about it. But I mean, if you're looking at the jump from college to the pros, inside linebacker is tough, man, because you're playing the run and you're keying in on blocking schemes. You're playing the pass and you're kind of keying in on that blocking scheme. And you're also like looking at the route stuff behind you. And edge rusher, you see those guys start, and a lot of times you throw them out there, maybe limited snaps first year, and they just go get the quarterback. That's it. And then you teach them the other stuff as you go on. Like, inside linebacker, to succeed as an inside linebacker at a high level your rookie year, that's a huge jump. And to just see him do that almost effortlessly is insane.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing mocks of the Packers taking Vander Esch, and I didn't hate it. Like, it was something I've said it before. Like, I feel like that.
You want an inside linebacker so bad.
Broken record, but I think the Packers need a high draft pick on an inside linebacker. But yeah, the dude's just a freak athlete, which is fun to see 15 games out of the year, not the 16th. I think that that's a good theme for us. Mm-hmm. And we will end this list with number one, who is obvious to every single person that watches the NFL, is Luke Kuechly. The dude is just everything you want in a middle linebacker. He is smart. He can cover. He can blitz. He can... I mean, yeah. is there a hole in his game that I don't see, Dusty?
I mean, the only issue, if you're going to bring up any issue with him, it's just he's had a lot of concussions. That's it. That's the only issue. He is elite at every single skill. Like, everything you need out of an inside linebacker, he gives you at an elite level and has been doing so for a long time. He's 28 years old. He's been in the league 7 years. He's 28 years old. And he's just, I mean, you want a guy that's good against the run, that can hold an edge, that can follow someone down the field in coverage. You want a guy that can do anything you need out of the position. It's Kuechly. And I mean, you get, you know, a lot of these times you get these guys that are just their names, and maybe they get a little overblown just because of who they are. And maybe the game's passed them by a little and they're coasting on reputation. No, Kuechly is still, like, for as much as we just gushed about Vander Esch, who again, just a rookie, so he's got room to grow. Kuechly is still far and away, unquestioned, the number one guy on this list, like by a fairly wide margin.
Yeah. Just, I mean,
there's not enough good things you can say about him.
It wasn't really close.
No.
No, that was an easy number one.
I had to do a lot of research on everyone else. I penned in Luke Kuechly and then kind of like started going back in and doing research. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, no, Luke Kuechly's still number one. Like, I was fully prepared to move him down if I needed to. That did not need to happen.
I legit made a 1 to 10 list and I just put Kuechly at number one and then started working.
That's exactly what I did as well.
But again, he backs it up. Like, that's the thing. We're putting there based on name, and then you look at the stuff, and it's still, oh no, he's still deserving that spot. Like, mm-hmm. He's still just amazing.
Now, I know we wanted to talk a little honorable mention. Is there anybody on your that almost made your list you wanted to mention?
I had two Chargers. I had Thomas Davis and Denzel Perryman. We're both fine. They're both good. Thomas Davis, yeah, still good at his age at 36. And Perryman, I like. I don't know. They're inside linebackers, and their honorable mentions inside linebackers. They're both good. They're both fine.
I had Perryman. The biggest knock on him is that he has never played a full season. Like, if he legit had played two full seasons out of his four, I think I would have had him in the top 10.
Yeah.
But the fact that he is, I think he had 14 once, and then the rest of them were like 9 and 6 and 7. He's got the talent. He just unfortunately can't stay healthy.
I do want to say it's a couple guys, though. So you got those two guys in the middle. Those are my two honorable mentions. And then on the edge, you got Bosa and Ingram. That's a solid linebacker for the Chargers, man.
For sure. Sarah, do you have anybody in the honorable mention you want to mention?
No one that we didn't already talk about, so not really. I kind of just commented before on some that I was like, oh, he was right outside my list, but other than that, no.
I did have Alec Ogletree for the Giants.
Oh, wait, no, I did have him. You're right. I forgot about that.
Let it be known. So I gave you, what's-his-face? I gave you Roquan. Fred Warner. Fred Warner I put on there, and then I just forced Ogletree off of both of your lists. I made him honorable mention for both of you guys.
Oh, and I had Kendricks on honorable mention. I totally forgot. I think he was obviously...
We were not allowed to have him on our...
Yeah, I know. I bumped him off as well.
So I think he obviously came in really hot, but then he's kind of like declined in the recent years. So he was kind of on the outside of my list. Or he was on my list, but on the outside of, I guess, our overall list because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my thing. I always thought Kendricks was kind of more like based on name recognition at this point, because he I don't think he's been very good for the past couple seasons. But just me.
Outside of busting up Aaron Rodgers.
Outside of that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a very, very solid list. So to recap, we've got number 10, Darren Lee. Number 9, Todd Davis. Mason Foster, Danny Trevathan, number 6, Fred Warner, Jalen Smith, Roquan Smith, Zach Brown, Leighton Vander Esch, and Luke Kuechly as the top 10 non-edge linebackers that the Packers will be facing this year. It's not a pretty sight. Like, every time we go through these lists, I don't love what's going on with the Packers. Like, they've got a tough schedule. They're going to be facing some great, great talents, but I mean, it's kind of the way the NFL goes. It happens every single year. They're always going to face talented dudes. And...
A lot of good players in the NFL. Mm-hmm. A lot of good players.
Mm-hmm. So it is July, technically July 4th now that for this recording is coming out. I want to have a little fun with you guys before we get out. What is your favorite July 4th, not meal, but food? It doesn't have to be snacks. It doesn't have to be, it can be whatever you want, but what is your, like, it's July 4th. This is what I have to eat.
Every year we go over to my parents' house for the 4th of July, and my mom makes homemade Reuben sandwiches. Tremendous. And homemade ice cream as well.
Vanilla ice cream.
No vanilla, because my mother loves me very, very much. She makes chocolate chip, and usually strawberry or raspberry. What's that?
She makes the ice cream?
She makes the ice cream, makes homemade ice cream. It's amazing.
Does she have like a slow churner thing?
I think it's mechanical at this point, because no one, I don't know. That's a lot of work. I did slow churn one time. It's a lot of work.
Yeah,
I was just going to be really impressed with your mom.
I mean, she's impressive anyway, so just be impressed with her in general.
But I am now going to be waiting on the invite to your house, because
come on Reuben, down, brother.
Reubens are my like favorite sandwich of all time.
Listen, an incredible Reuben. She makes an incredible Reuben, and then beyond that, we got a sandwich place in town that on Thursdays serves one of the best Reubens I've ever had in my entire life. They smoke it for like 13 hours, so it's just falling apart. Oh, it's incredible.
I'm going to be in Louisville in September, so we'll figure something out. We'll make this happen.
Bring it on down, brother. I'm like an hour and a half from Louisville, so just bring it right on down, and we'll figure something out.
Is there a gas station by your house? Or
no. No gas stations by my
way,
house.
Way, way far away, huh?
Way far, 45 minutes away. Yeah. So Reuben and roommate and homemade ice cream.
Okay.
That's mine.
Sarah?
So at Publix, shout out to all the Southeast listeners, because that's who has Publix. They sell this really good buffalo chicken dip. And pretty much having that with any form of, whether it's bread, potato chips, Tostitos chips, is really good. You can eat it with anything, pretty much like hamburger, hot dog, barbecue, sandwich, whatever you're having, it works with. It's super good. And some people like it cold. I personally don't. I like to heat it up and I put it all over my plate. Dip anything I want in it, and it's fantastic.
Sounds amazing.
All right, so I do need to question you on one thing. Tostitos chips, really? Like, that's your go-to tortilla chip?
Tostitos are good, dude.
No, the Tostitos are good, one. The scoops are the best ones. But
there's like a million better tortilla chips.
Like what?
I mean, I've got like three or four that I don't ever buy Tostitos, because, I mean, it's just...
I mean, like Tostitos.
He called you basic, Sarah. He called you basic to your face.
I don't care. I'll be basic and eat my Tostitos and buffalo chicken dip tomorrow or today.
Okay, I'm just curious. I mean, like, some legit, good, authentic tortilla chips, I think, are way better than Tostitos. But okay, cool. If you want to be basic and just have Tostitos chips, that's cool. That's cool. For me, okay, cool. One of my mom's friends makes I think the best way to describe it is like an icebox cake almost, where the base of it at the bottom is going to be like a crushed up Oreo cookie with some butter that you like, you know, kind of pound into the crust. And then it's got some crushed up Oreos. It's got whipped cream. It's got caramel. It's got all this kind of good stuff. Like, it's just like heaven on earth when you get that cake. And for like, she always comes over for July 4th, and we always, you know, have a cookout, and then you have that cake. And I mean, it's totally on brand for us, as Dusty told me beforehand, but so many Oreos involved in this, but crushed up Oreos in the crumb, in the crust, and other, like, just a frozen Oreo delicious cake is outstanding.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's like it sounds like the cake that like in the middle has like the crumble. It's like an ice cream cake with the crumble.
I think there might be an ice cream layer to it. I haven't had it for a year or two, but I think there is an ice cream level to it. And yeah, it's outstanding. Before we go, we do need to discuss something. Sarah, would you like to tell us how you fell off a freaking boat? can't believe I forgot to discuss this last week.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that was amazing.
I'm mad at myself.
I've watched that like 100 times.
It's such a funny,
it's so good.
Dusty and I will definitely retweet this tonight because we need more discussion about it. But Sarah all of a sudden just popped up in my mentions of it's coming around the internet today of how I fell off a boat.
So
how'd you fall off a boat?
This was 4 years ago now, I think. 3 or 4 summers ago. I live right by the river, maybe 10 minutes away. And the river is totally the move, or at least it used to be. Now it's all polluted and gross. But that summer the river was the move because you could go out and there is this place where you could just rent a boat from. You didn't have to own a boat. You just had to pass a certification. So a lot of my friends' parents and my parents included would just rent from this place. And it was really great. They provided free maintenance on the boat because you weren't taking care of it. They off when you went for no extra price, they would give you tubes or anything else that you wanted to take out on the river. So it was way better than going to the beach. You wouldn't get as hot and gross. So that was the thing that summer. So I went with a group of friends. Actually, this is a really great story. So my boyfriend that I dated in high school, that was the first time I ever met his dad. And we were not dating at the time. So it was I was very nervous because it was the first time I was ever around someone in his family. And so I was great. Okay. And so my friend that was taking the video was in the water and was supposed, we were all going to flip off the front. And there is a video of all of us flipping off the front. We were in high school. So we're like, oh, let's make this really cool video of us all flipping off the front of the boat.
Yeah. Nobody cares about that video, Sarah.
Yeah. I don't care about ever seeing that one.
So, yeah, so the video where I actually make the jump is great, and it's out there somewhere, but of course no one cares about that. Nope. So I was standing on the edge, and one of my friends had, hooked my arm because that we were going to, just jump at first. We were trying to figure out what to do. And then I was like, no, let's do this. And when I, said that, I, pulled my arm away, but her arm was still hooked onto mine. So I got, off balance because she was way taller than me and I'm short. And then I just slipped because the front of the boat was wet and I fell face first into the water. And of course, it was on video and everyone was laughing. And so that summer on Twitter, everyone was friendly. No one was being malicious about it, but making fun of me and were oh, you fell off the boat. And every year, the same day, it comes up on Time Hop. We all have the Time Hop app. So no doubt, every single year, someone that was in my friend group in high school, whether I still talk to them now in college or not, will repost the video or will text back in the chat and be oh my gosh, you remember when Sarah fell off the boat? Ha 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 ha. And so I had woken up that morning and I was eating breakfast and I'm looking at my phone and I checked my Time Hop and I see that was on my Time Hop and I was oh gosh. So then I hadn't been on Twitter yet. And I go on Twitter and I was why do I have 5 notifications? It's 8 in the morning. I just woke up and literally someone had already quoted it and was bringing this back on the timeline. And I'm just
You bit it so hard. You bit it so hard.
It was so good.
I fell so hard, but it didn't hurt. People were did it hurt? And I was no, I just fell in the water. It's not I was really high up. I was on the edge of the boat.
The best part was it was flailing. You just,
all limbs. Yeah.
I really tried to catch myself and I was super embarrassed because it was in front of
other it was people. Embarrassing. You looked like a fool.
I looked like a fool. Yeah. Steve's
so
right.
That was that was not good. I should have taken that as a sign of how that relationship would end up going. But it's
one of those because the video cuts off immediately. And if I didn't know you, I'd have been like, that girl's dead.
No, you see me pop out of the water.
Oh, I never watched that far. I just loop it back to the beginning.
At the very end, my head pops out under the water and I yell, Kim! Because Kim, my friend Kim, was the one that was holding on to me. So I was it's your fault that I fell because you hooked my arm and then I fell.
I watched it.
Yelled, are you okay?
I watched it with no audio and would just skip it back to just keep watching you fall. I never made it to the end. Not a single time.
I am honest to God so shocked that no one, my current roommate I'm friends with and I was friends with in high school when that happened, and I am so shocked that they did not like meme me into some video where my body was like falling off of something. Like they just took that part and memed it.
Sounds like some bad friends that they didn't do that. Some pretty bad friends.
Almost like we are some people that might be listening to this are on the internet that may know how to do that.
That's a good point, Stu.
So we will definitely retweet this video. And if anybody can come with a great way to make Sarah look really dumb, we will we will invite you onto the podcast. We'll figure out a way to get them on.
I would love that because I would love to talk to them about that.
Yeah, we'll figure out. We'll make it work. Phone calls or whatever. If they can do a Google Hangout, we can do that too. But we will invite you on because I would love to talk to that person.
For sure.
So that is their homework assignment. Sarah has a homework assignment. Mm. Now that next time we talk, you should be done with school, right?
Either that day or the day after. Okay. So
it might be a couple weeks, Steve.
I keep pushing her for her homework assignment to watch Usual Suspects, but
it's on my to-do list.
I know. You have to let her do her studies first. So we're probably talking 2 weeks for that, right?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair. That should wrap it up for us.
I've got one more thing.
Come on, dude. Do you have no faith in me?
I didn't. You said it wrapped up. I don't. Yeah, we just talked about Sarah's thing. We don't want to bring us down. So I thought you were just going to blow right past it.
No, of course not. Dusty, believe. Literally no faith in me, whatever.
No.
I wanted to kind of wrap things up. We've talked middle linebackers. We've talked stupid Bears fans and stupid Bears players, all this dumb stuff they talk about. And Dusty wants to bring a little Kentucky home and talk a little bit about there's a passing of a former player, and he just kind of want to give his thoughts. So we're going to let him do that.
Yeah, I'm gonna bring us down. After Sarah just gave us an awesome story about falling off a boat and biting it in the water, I'm going to bring us down a little bit to send you guys out on a really sad note on this 4th of July. So it was announced today, early this morning, July 3rd, that Jared Lorenzen died. Lorenzen was, of course, the starting quarterback at Kentucky for 4 years. He started in Mummy's last year. I'm sorry, they overlapped. And then did, 3 years after that, kind of a rough start to his career for sure. But one of those guys, he got clowned on a lot because he was a bigger dude. In fact, I remember, I think it was his second year, they released, one of the posters they released here was Jared Lorenzen walking with his offensive lineman, and you couldn't really tell who was who. But he was, 38 years old, same age as me, and so that brings it home a little bit. But he was I think he gets clowned on a lot. He won a Super Bowl as a backup. I think he maybe completed 2 passes in his entire pro career, but a tremendously fun quarterback to watch at Kentucky. Again, he kind of overlapped Mummy for a year, and those teams, that was one of the first years. Kentucky beat Florida this past year for the first time in like 30-some-odd years. They almost beat them, I think, in Lorenzen's sophomore or junior year. Like, their records weren't great, but he took them to a couple bowl games, and he was always fun to watch. So I have fun memories of Lorenzen. I was living here when he was playing there, and just sad to see him go, for sure, especially for a guy that got clowned out as much as he did. But a tremendously fun quarterback to watch at Kentucky. If you get a chance, watch his there's YouTube clips floating around of highlights of him at Kentucky. Just tremendously fun quarterback for a big dude. What was his nickname? The Hefty Lefty? Just a tremendous nickname as well. So, prayers up to Lorenzen's family. By all accounts, just a really good dude as well. But just a really fun guy to watch. So, yeah, if you're thinking about it, just get on YouTube and watch you some Lorenzen highlights and just think about how much fun he was in college.
Yeah, pretty sad. I mean, he was 38 years old, right?
38, yeah.
Yeah, it's just so terrible.
So, yeah, I mean, that does take us down a notch, I will say.
I apologize.
But that's part of the fun part of the podcast is that you can just – we've got that ability to talk about – you're from Kentucky, you're in Kentucky, that's something that was close to your heart and has got a couple of minutes to talk about it. And people can go and do some research and see it. Like, his highlights are fun to watch. Like, almost getting sacked by somebody and then chucking it to the running back and like tossing people off. Like, it's pretty crazy.
I don't have the numbers pulled up in front of me too, but I mean, after the NFL, he went on to play Arena League. Was it the River Monsters? Mm-hmm. I think was his Arena League team. And he had some fun things at the River Monsters as well. I mean, for a big guy, I mean, he slowed down obviously as he got a little older. But when he was at Kentucky, for a big guy, he moved remarkably well too, which makes those highlights a lot of fun. So
yeah. So that should wrap it up for us. Happy July 4th. We hope you guys are having a lot of fun today. Be careful, please, please, please be careful with fireworks. That's just one of my, I don't even want to get into it. My wife's from Indiana. They let their crazy ass like 10-year-olds light off fireworks in the middle of the street while everybody else is drunk. I just blows my mind. But please, please, please be careful with your fireworks. Have a lot of fun with your grill outs. Have a couple of cocktails and talk some Packers. Please hit us up on Twitter. We've got at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Kelleher 4, at C Perhatch, at Packaday Podcast. So that should, you know, please let us know what you think of the list. And we will catch you guys next week. And then in 2 weeks, it'll be a fun episode. We'll be celebrating the 1 year anniversary of the Packaday Podcast.
Woo-woo.
Yeah. I don't think Andy really thought that through either.
Like, was not thought through at
all. No. Again, like we're getting the 1 year anniversary. We're getting the opening night for the NFL season. We're getting all these things. And I feel like Andy was just smacking himself in the head. He's like,
cosmic mistake.
He's like, they're going to talk about Oreos. That's all they're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's not wrong.
But it's been fun. We appreciate you guys listening every single day. Please make sure you like us all the time. Facebook, Twitter, everything like that. And we will catch you next week. And as always, go Pack, go.